When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football, mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favourite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATL Official. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now, I'm about to tell you what episode we're on.
120.
Is that right?
You should have announced that.
120!
Like I was going to say, you should have announced that like they do in the darts, man.
Come on.
We'll do that when it's 180.
Yay!
And we get the song.
Yeah, we should do that.
How are you guys doing?
Yeah, good. The sun is shining.
Loving the sun is shining, man. Happy days.
Just as you're about to leave.
I'm going into more sun, I'm not complaining.
Fair, that's fair, that's fair. All of our teams won.
Yeah.
All of our teams won.
First time in a long time that happened.
When was the last time that happened? Oh my goodness.
Long time, but I'm not a part of that conversation. It's usually one of your teams
who lets the... It's usually Spurs, I think, to be fair.
Quiet. It's so early on. I don't even know how many... We're like 1 minute in.
You love to see it.
No, I do not love to see it. But anyway, let's start. So let's address the elephant in the room. Abdi's not here today.
I'd actually like to formally make an address and just say that that's actually strike two out of three.
Yeah, he's bunking.
One more strike and you're gone.
Yeah.
One more.
Much. We're going to replace you.
It's on the day as well. On the day. It's outrageous.
Terrible.
Not good. But here we are.
Egregious behaviour. But cool. No complaining. Because usually,
delete that, man.
How's him and Barry getting on?
Wow. Abdi, we love you.
We do.
Barry, Danielle,
oh, yeah, he's been around a bit. All right, let's. Uh-huh.
Someone said he's on that Pizza East vibe tonight, but.
Oh, God, he's going to kill us.
Yeah, he is. All right, let's start. So, we're not going to do our usual spotlight game. We're just going to talk through the Prem games. There was only four. And the FA Cup games, which there was also only four. And then have a bit of discussion on some topics that we have saved up. So let's start off with the Prem games. The first game of the weekend was a belter. Wolves versus Leeds. Massive, massive, massive game for Leeds. And what a game.
If someone were to say to you, right, I want a game that summarizes exactly what the Premier League is, that would be one of the first games that I think of. That game is perfect in terms of the pace, the franticness, everything that this league gives you, that game gave us. And it was funny because obviously Wolves went 2-0 up. Yep. Leeds were defending how Leeds have done this season and for parts of last season.
Yeah,
and then Wolves just decided to turn into Leeds all of a sudden. And they were all over the place. And when you consider that they're actually, in actual fact, one of the best defensive units in the league.
Yeah, very surprising.
I don't know where that came from. But let's kind of detail it from start to finish.
Yeah, so I don't actually remember who scored for Wolves. Pedence scored. Is it Pedence? No.
Listen, it's not as if we're a football podcast.
Yeah, I know.
So don't worry, you don't need to know those facts.
I already put that in the...
Trincao scored the second.
Yeah, Johnny,
Castro,
that's it.
Yeah,
Johnny, I think it was Pedence who crossed it into him.
Yeah.
But it's like what I said, mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts. So I already put
that's
that
true,
out
that's
there,
true,
so.
That's true.
But yeah, Wolves play some lovely football, especially in their build-up play. But I think there was a, I can't remember who said it. There was a player who came into the Premier League and he was saying, like, when you're in La Liga or when you're in Germany, when you have a 2-0 lead, you've basically won. And he said he wasn't used to the Prem, that even 2-0 down, teams continue to come at you.
That's why it's and the best in the league. So well, yeah. Best in Europe. Yeah.
Nah. Yeah, best in the world.
Best in the world.
Best league in the world. Best. That's what you meant, yeah. So, and I think it's testament to that because, like, it is so tough. The Premier League is so tough.
Of course.
So even teams down at the bottom, if you even just rest on your laurels, that's it.
That's why I always say no game is easy in the league. Like, anyone can beat anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Well, the beauty of this league is that we're, what, some teams are 29 games in, some are 28, some are 27. But the point is that we're two-thirds of the campaign is pretty much finished. Mm. And honestly, I'd say about 16, 17 of the teams in the league still have something to play for.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple who are just playing for pride at this point. For example, Leicester. Who are just playing to finish in the top half. Southampton, Palace almost, other than the cup semi-final in terms of league football, Villa, all just playing for that top 10 position. But other than that, you've got obviously the title race, top four race, Europa League race. Don't like to say it, but
relegation.
Relegation, I don't mind saying that. There are certain teams that I want, but I will smile when they go down. But Conference League battles.
No, because Leicester are still in the Conference League. So you're talking about Leicester.
Leicester are still in the. You know what? It's a decent draw for Leicester as well. I can't remember who they got in the quarters, but if they win that and Roma win their quarter, then it's a Leicester versus Roma semi final. So,
wow,
damn,
be an interesting end to that competition that will be. And of course, there's only one chance to win that competition for the first time.
Yeah.
So someone's going to do it this year.
That's true, actually.
Well, it won't be Spurs.
The bin. What did we call it earlier? The bin. The dustbin. But in terms of that game, I mean, I don't think Leeds will pick up a more important 3 points
absolutely
in a long, long time, particularly from 2-0 down.
Well, how many points have they got now under the new manager? They won
6.
Wow. Okay, so he's had an impact. But
I mean,
that
6 in 4 games.
I don't know.
It's difficult because it's that thing what we said last week. Like, we're talking about teams at the bottom, like, oh, they'll win this game. But really, when they're at the bottom, they might not.
Yeah.
That's why they're at the bottom, is they don't tend to win games. So any wins that you get, especially like away from home, are massive. Like, we were talking about Watford winning at Southampton the other week. No one expected them to beat Southampton, who had been on a good run. So it's the same with Leeds going to Wolves. No one, their relegation rivals, probably looking at that game going, that's a good game for us because we know Leeds are going to get a spanking and then that's it. That, you know, we'll just wait for our game so we can get closer. But Leeds did what they had to do, points on the board. And
I'm looking at the table now, right? And I know we've mentioned Newcastle, but Everton have got 27 games and obviously Leeds have got 30. So you just never know. Everton, I know Everton have been bad. If they go on a run, Leeds are back in it again. And then if Brentford start losing, Newcastle start losing, they're back in it again.
Yeah. Everton are not going on a run, I'm sorry to say.
I don't think they will.
They've got someone in charge who doesn't even know what the definition of the word tactic is, let alone someone who can implement just vibes.
I mean, I messaged in the group after the Leeds win. I was like, the relegation battle is looking a bit boring now because before we had like 6 or 7 teams that were just in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a bit of a gap. Because Leeds are on 29, Brentford 30, Newcastle 31. Then you've got Everton on 25, Watford on 22. And it's just looking like a big gap.
It's almost looking like it's done. But the beauty of it is that
you never know.
It's not done. If this league has taught us anything since 92 or whenever it was, is that it's never done. It's never done until the 38th game is played.
So let's talk about Ayling.
How can you botch the Robbie Keane celebration, man?
The best thing was the interview afterwards. He's like, I tried it, but I couldn't land the cartwheel.
That's a legendary celebration. I'm glad someone brought that back, but oh boy, he needs to practice that one.
But he's a right back who never typically scores goals, so you wouldn't expect him to nail that celebration.
It's true.
Also, he's an Arsenal fan, so I don't know why he would have tried that celebration in the first place.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just messing. But the scenes at the end were fantastic.
Scenes were crazy. Actually, I want to just bring us back as well because I felt really sorry for Patrick Bamford making his first start in such a long time and coming off midway through the first half.
Joking.
Tears in his eyes. Thankfully, it sounds like it's not actually that bad, but can't catch a break this season. And when you're someone who's pushing 29, 30, I'm not sure exactly how old he is. He might be 28 at this point, but as each season passes, you realise You know, I'm not getting any younger, and it's almost a full season at this point. That
oh my god,
them.
I'm just watching the celebration because I didn't watch it. Going, oh my god!
Yeah, he flopped it.
Oh my god!
But even for the Rodrigo goal, when the equaliser,
yeah,
he went nuts. He went jumped he into went the in crowd the, yeah, and all this stands. Kind of stuff. Yeah. That was, I mean, yeah. that's what football is about, isn't it? Like, I've seen a lot of people complaining about Leeds celebration and the week before and this week, and then obviously we're going to talk about the Arsenal game in a bit. But I think the celebration police just need to give it a rest. Like, I get you're miserable that maybe your club's not winning or whatever it is, but you just need to give it a rest. Football is about celebration.
You've been waiting to say that all day.
Yeah, I'm sick and tired of it, man. Just let teams celebrate.
I'm quiet a bit because I did criticise Arsenal, but that was the Man City game.
Yeah.
But I do
think... We weren't celebrating. We were just clapping our team off the pitch. This is a bit different.
I don't know. That, for me, was a little bit over the top.
Sorry. We cannot applaud our team anymore.
But I agree. I think everything else, yeah. People need to just...
And like people like Gabby Bong Lahore, who's talking about...
Yeah,
he's... Oh, I love Steven Gerrard. It's like celebrating a cup final. That's what the fans want to see. And then as soon as Arsenal do it, it's just like...
Laura Woods put him in his place, though. Yeah, no. She's been rating
for Laura Woods. It's like, talk sport is such a weird... I don't know what to think about TalkSport, honestly, because then Jamie O'Hara come in and it's the first time I've ever seen him agree about something that was positive about Arsenal. Honestly, the complete first time.
I know.
It's because a few weeks ago, Laura Woods put him in a spot of Arsenal.
She puts them all in their spot. Honestly, without Laura Woods, half of the panellists on that show are a shambles, my view.
No, I agree. No, in my view too.
Power of opinions, constantly.
It's all for clickbait anyway, so... Yeah. But no, I'm happy that Leeds celebrate. That's what you need to do. Like, it's a competition sport. Like, especially for players, if you've ever played a team sport, it's what it's all about. Like, you win... You were 2-0 down, 3-2 up.
Oh, yeah,
last minute goal. And you're there battling with your mates... that you have been for the whole season, mate, you have to celebrate. Otherwise, you're a robot.
Yeah, especially being 2-0 down.
Absolutely.
I went ballistic that Leicester game. I don't care, I mean absolutely nothing. But I was going mad.
Yeah, you have to.
But it didn't mean nothing because you went from 0 points to 3 points.
It's true.
In the space of literally 2 minutes from 94th minute onwards. And let's just say, right, just stick a scenario in the air. You're going into the last game of the season.
Yeah.
You need to win that to make top four. Actually, that Leicester game will mean everything.
It's true.
But it's only in hindsight that we'll know how much that Leicester game meant. Damn. But we'll see. I think you're right, Junior. I've been reading all over socials both today, yesterday, and since the Arsenal game in particular, because I didn't see many celebration tweets about the Leeds game. Yeah. Or maybe I just wasn't reading enough about it, because to kind of police celebrations, as you said, on a comeback from 2-0 down, the magnitude of that game for Leeds, another loss for them, honestly... would have been that damage. Yeah. It would have been serious. And then the Arsenal game, honestly, I didn't get that at all. Abdi will be probably grinning from ear to ear right now because I'm here and I'm actually saying with all my heart, that game there for Arsenal, and obviously we'll come on to it. After that win, for me, I said, this is almost cemented now. And if you can't, and I'm not saying you were celebrating... actually making the top four, but what you were celebrating is making a giant stride towards the top four, somewhere you haven't been in 5 years. And if you can't celebrate that, then what is the point?
You've got to think about it. I think every game now for Arsenal is like a final.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't afford to drop any points. And so that was a massive game. Because it's almost like, all right, you can understand the Liverpool, but you had to win the Villa one, and you did.
Absolutely. So. And we haven't won at Villa for the last two seasons since they've been back.
Yeah.
And this is the first time in 7 years that we've won five games away from home on the bounce.
Wow.
So
crazy. See,
either way you spin it, it's massive, because Villa aren't an easy team. Villa Park is not an easy place to go to, firstly. And Aston Villa don't roll over. Yeah. We saw that at the end, like, they started to get back into the game, and we needed Leno to make a last minute save
to
get all 3 points. So, and I don't get why we can't celebrate it. It's a massive 3 points. As Mark just said, it's like one massive stride to achieving top four. If we had lost that game or even dropped points, Spurs would have been 1 point or level on points with us. So it's a massive, like, it's important to keep the gap there, because one slip, and we've seen it in the Premier League, there are... Absolutely.
It's not done, and you've got to play each other as well.
Yeah.
That is... six-pointer
game. A definition of a six-pointer. But if I could just bring it back to actually Leeds in particular, I'm interested What are your thoughts on Jesse Marsh and how he's adapted to the Prem and the energy that he's brought? What are your initial thoughts?
I like him. I think he's done well so far. I think he's quite refreshing.
Abdi's going to hate us.
Oh, why is he going to hate us?
I don't know. I just feel like he is, like, because he was calling him Ted Lasso and all this kind of stuff. But I do think it's a bit too soon. Like, we don't know what is actually Bielsa and what is actually Jesse Marsh.
I think that's a very fair point. But what I will say on the face of it, in terms of his persona, I really like him.
Yeah, I really like him. Who did Gary interview him recently?
Might have been after Wolves, or it was after Wolves, I think, because or it was the game prior that they won under him.
Norwich. So they've won two on the bounce.
Might have been Norwich. Yeah. Whichever one was Friday night football.
It was Wolves.
Wolves. I really like him, and I know there's a stigma behind the accent. And that's always just going to be, isn't it? And it's the same if we went over to America, there'd probably be a stigma behind the accent. It just is what it is. But in terms of persona, the way he carries himself, and actually I just like the messages, the subtle messages that he gives in his interviews, and you can tell he's forming a close bond with his players already. You know, a couple of them have already come out and say they really enjoy working with him.
Yeah.
And 6 points so far.
Yeah.
Very, very, very important 6 points for Leeds, because without those points, what are they in the relegation zone?
They're 1 point above Watford.
So they've done well to kind of claw themselves up a little bit. There's so much work to be done in the rest of this season, but it's a decent starting point for Jesse Marsh at
Leeds. It's what we've been saying all season. You'd rather have points on the board than games in hand, because as Tanya said, Everton are 3 games in hand on them. But when you're battling for relegation, where are those?
Have you seen Everton's fixtures list?
Oh, yeah, it's bad, isn't it?
No, it's worse than bad. If you're Everton in this situation right now, and you know you need points on the board,
I need to check.
That fixture list is honestly probably the fixture list from hell forever. And I think they've got one relatively decent game in there. The rest are,
they've got West Ham next, and they've got Burnley, then they've got Man United, and they've got Palace again, Leicester, Liverpool, Chelsea.
Oh, I think their last game is against Arsenal.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Very, very, very difficult running for Everton. In fact, it's when you read that, and a lot of those games are away, I think Palace might be away, and automatically Palace away is a level up to Palace at home. Palace at home, fair enough, but I just think Everton,
I can't see them getting any.
You know, you've got none of the teams around them there. There's no Leeds, there's no Burnley. There's one game against Brentford, but there's no Leeds, there's no Burnley, there's no Norwich.
There is Burnley.
Oh, there is Burnley after West Ham.
Cool, so Tanya just read out 60% of the fixtures instead of all of them. But just in terms of that fixture list, it's tricky for Everton. Yeah. And if they don't win those games there, like such as Burnley and Brentford, I don't see them picking up many points in the other games. So vitally important that they put those points on the board.
Yeah, it's tough.
They definitely won't.
Plus, anyway, I think they're just about stay up by the skin of their teeth. But I think they made the worst call hiring Frank Lampard. Honestly, I don't think he's ready for Prem management. I don't think he's a good manager.
Yeah.
And I don't think just because he played in the Prem for 15 years makes him suitable to come in and just...
But why can't he as a manager actually realise that he needs a bit more time? Like, take a step down. Like, why did he take the job? Like, he's got too much pride.
Listen, I understand there is self-confidence isn't a bad thing.
No, it's not, but I just think he does need to realise his level.
You want to back yourself, though. Like, if, for example, like, he started at Derby, he did an okay job.
Took them to the playoffs.
Yeah, they lost in the final. So when that Chelsea job came, it's like your dream job. Of course you're going to take it.
Regardless of who you are. You will take that.
Then you come out of that and... Whatever you think of Frank Lampard, his record with Chelsea, he might think, with all of the circumstances, that he did a good job.
Probably, with all
of the circumstances, you know, first year, not being able to sign anyone, second year.
Yeah, he's got top four, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He got top four, and then second year kind of like crumbled around this December because they started really well. So you might look at that and go, okay, I back myself to take Everton, who are a big, you know, historically big team in terms of Premier League, you know, and keep them there and then build something for the future. Now, the evidence is showing us otherwise, because the first thing you need to do is shore up your defence.
Yeah.
And I don't think anything that Frank Lampard has done up until now has ever showed us that he can do that.
So naive. I mean, even when he played against, I couldn't believe how they played against us. It was just so open. And it's just like, why wouldn't you? Teams that have done well against us, they make it difficult. You know, they set up very tight defensively. And I don't know why he's not doing that. That's what I mean. It's just arrogance. I find him very arrogant.
I think it's actually naivety.
Yeah, that too.
I think it's just like, he's out of his depth. I think Mark said it last week or whenever. He's just out of his depth. Yeah. Like, I don't think he knows how to, like, come up against someone tactically. Like, it looked okay against Man City, where he held, like, his Everton team battled
for
the 90 minutes, and obviously that they should have had a penalty. But the other games, it looks bad.
Do you think maybe he's just got terrible players? I mean, I don't. Listen, he does have some shocking.
He does, but you come into that job knowing that.
Yeah.
First of all, you accepted the job. That's your squad. No more windows until the end of the season. Let's see what you can do. And obviously, he will have players in mind that he wants to sign. And we can properly judge him next season. I think it's fair to say we can properly judge him next season. But for me personally, I just don't think he's got it cut out to be successful in this management game.
I think Everton was like a poison chalice. Like, it's a tough job to take, and plus Everton have been stricken with injuries all season. Like, they've had injury after injury after injury. Mm-hmm. I think Damari Gray had his first game in ages against Crystal Palace.
But listen, if you sign that dotted line, it's because you believe you can work with what you've got and you can improve them.
That's true.
And it's still early days, but I mean, it was hard for them, but it seems like they've gone backwards.
Because he was here for the January transfer. Do you think he had a say in that? Because if I was him, I would have come in and said straight away, we don't need another Van de Beek type player, Dele. Like, why didn't he as a manager say, oh, do you know what?
No, they were his choices.
Yeah, I was about to say,
he pushed for them. Yeah. He would have said, listen, if I'm coming to this club, I want to sign the players that I want to sign. That probably would have been part of the condition of him going over to Everton. And then you've got Dele Alli literally doing the Spurs and chilling on the bench.
Yeah,
and Van der Beek, who probably wishes he went Palace. I said it ages ago. I said when he had that decision, the two of them, it should have always been Palace.
But the thing is like Mark said, I think Frank Lampard would have identified those two players as sources of goals, because Everton don't score a lot. So if you're looking at two players that could potentially get you goals that aren't your strikers, because obviously you've got Richarlison and DCL and Rondon. Then you're looking at...
Man said Rondon.
Is it not Rondon?
Yeah, it is. Rondon and goals in the same sentence.
It's fair, but those are the strikers. But like, and I'm sure Tosin is still there somewhere.
He's not still there, is he?
He probably has like a season ticket at Everton. Just watches on the bench. But that's the thing. Like, you look at their midfield and you take Sigurdsson away, who, you know, I don't know. It's allegedly dealing with something. And you've lost goals in your midfield. Damari Gray started on fire. But then, Allen's not going to get you goal. The Corey might get you a couple goals.
They're two good players, but they won't get
you goals. But they're more like... I look at Allen as like the momentum in the team. Like, he sets the tempo. He gets the ball and he sprays it around. He's not going to get you a goal. Or many goals, he'll get you one. And so when he's coming in, he's probably thinking, like, we need goals from midfield. And that's what he specialized in as a player. So I think Donny van der Beek is probably the best player he could have got.
No, it is a good signing on paper, but it's not what they need.
At that moment, it probably was what they needed. They needed someone who could create in the middle of the park, grab a goal or two.
The thing is I don't think the system suits Donny van der Beek. And I think... At Man United, he was
system?
Underused.
There is no system.
There's that issue as well.
On the face of it, it looks like, of course, there's a system, but it just looks like there is no system. Yeah,
that's the tactics.
Maybe the best thing for him is for this season to end, like you say, Mark, and just go again.
I think he's desperate for it to end, as it is, like, just survive and then see what happens.
But listen, they can't take their foot off the pedal.
Yeah,
it's not as simple as just to see.
Because
put me feet up now.
Like I said, we went through that fixture list. They've probably got the hardest fixture list. Yeah. I mean, listen, Norwich are gone. Burnley have a slight chance. Watford have a... I'd give Burnley more of a chance than Watford. And I know Watford are positioned above Burnley, but...
By a point.
I really think Norwich and Watford are gone, and that last spot is just whoever is bad enough.
You know what?
In the last 10 games,
I was thinking that Burnley had a better chance, but... They're not winning. No, they're not, not even like.
They're not. They're only. But listen, the only saving grace for me is Abdi's going to hate this. Sean Dash. He yeah. He knows what he's doing in the business end of the season, and fair enough. Past what 2-3 years, they've not even been in and around that scrapping type of area towards the end of the season. But the fact of the matter is, he's come into the Prem. How long have they been there now? 6 years?
Maybe, yeah.
5 or 6 years. And he's kept them up every single season. Shoestring budget, players in on free transfers. I mean, fair enough, he brought in Weghorst and Cornet for sizable-ish fees. But outside of that, as Abdi likes to call it, is Brexit 11. Most of them are free. Most of them are 30+. But what they've got is that experience of staying in the league. And that's what I think might just trickle them over the line.
Because they had that bounce when Weghorst came in. But it's gone dry after that. Like, I haven't seen even the performances.
They've got City next, and they've got Everton and Norwich. I actually think they'll beat Everton and Norwich.
I mean, yeah, but they'd have
to. Then they've got West Ham. And
see, that's interesting because, but if they beat Norwich and Burnley, that's...
Burnley beat Burnley, yeah.
Sorry. If they beat Everton and Norwich, that's 6 points. They go above Everton.
Think I honestly think they'll win those two games.
So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But let's move on to some more league games. Arsenal.
Yeah. So Arsenal went to Villa Park. On the back of losing to Liverpool in midweek. Obviously, we didn't cover it on
the
podcast.
Good game, that was.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, just very quickly, that was... I just need to... so sorry, Junior. I've got to put this in here for Abdi. that's 4 games you've played against us this season. You haven't scored a goal.
Yeah, I know.
So there is a lot of improvement you still got to do.
We don't have a striker.
I know, but the fact of the matter is you've still got 11 players on the pitch and you score against other teams.
I agree. But,
but listen, aside from that, I thought that's the best game you've given us in years. So the progression is there.
It was really tough.
It was very tough.
That first half.
But what we are the experts of is controlling the game of football. Yeah. And it might look like we're under the cosh, but actually everyone's calm. Everyone knows what they're doing. Job is there, very structured.
You're winning it. and
we'll see what happens with the title race. But in terms of Arsenal, the improvement was really there to see. And again, you've gone away to Villa, kept a clean sheet, massive, massive win. How did that make you feel?
Let me address something really fast. Like, I get we're scoring goals against other teams, but none of it's coming from the striker. And the reason why I bring up the striker situation is because, for example, there was that run that Martinelli had in the first half. Was it the second half?
Well,
first half, I think. And he dribbles past everyone and he crosses it in the box. Where's Lacazette outside of the box?
Of course, but that's mainly because the run was so good.
Yeah, no.
Martinelli is a step ahead of every other Arsenal player on the pitch.
But it was going to bring me to... Odegaard was in the box. It was just a good block from Matip.
So even if there was a striker in there, the block still would have been made.
No, absolutely.
I get what you're saying about the striker, but you've got to remember, you had Aubameyang for the first three games against us. You can't use...
It's not a Liverpool-specific thing. I'm just talking about now, like, for example, because I was going to bring up other things. Like, so we played Leicester, and every time, for example, we're on the break, Lacazette's on the halfway line.
But again, against Villa, I get it's a choice that your manager made.
No, I understand. I'm not. It's not an excuse. I'm just saying, like, against Villa, there was a chance where Saka crosses in the box, and Lacazette, it looks so easy, and he does the most to miss it. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I'm not even trying to say it's an excuse, but I'm just saying that if we had a striker, I'm not saying we would have beaten Liverpool. Or that we would have scored those chances. I just think if we had a better striker, that we could cause more problems.
Of course. Any top team has to have at least one player who can regularly put the ball in the back of the net.
And Liverpool have 5. So that's the difference. That's what I'm saying. So that's the difference. Like, you're talking about the gap. Like, oh, we played well. But that is the gap where you have 5 players. Like,
yeah, because you bought on Firmino and Salah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the second half didn't start as Liverpool wanted. Klopp was like, bun this, I'm going to bring on Firmino and Salah. And Luis, who we've been talking about, running and raving, didn't even have his best game, you can still bring on Firmino and Salah and it's just frightening.
Having options,
that's my point. It wasn't even like to say, oh, we would have beaten Liverpool.
No, I hear your point. The only reason I came back at that is because like I said earlier, it was your manager who decided to get rid of Aubameyang in January, and it was your manager who then said, "I'm not going to replace him." So it's understandable the points that you're making, but at the end of the day, you do have amazing players like Saka, Martinelli, who do Smith Rowe, who do put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah,
but what you need is that focal point. Someone, all the best teams have bought, Bar City at the moment, are doing it without a number nine. But all the best teams in history, current day, have someone who can put the ball in the back of the net. And whether that's more than one player, brilliant, but you need someone up there. Someone.
So who would that player be for you? I know we've probably spoken about this already, but in the summer, who would be on your wish list? Who would be that player you'd bring in to get you those
If players? I'm looking at it, and it's probably not going to happen, this is like probably like far-fetched dreamland. And I'm not talking about Haaland, because I don't think we're in the race, but it would be Osimhen from Napoli, because he's the type of like number nine that I think we've lacked for a long time. He's big, he's strong, he scores goals, he's fast, his agility is great, and he's smart. Like the goals you see he gets for Napoli, they're like big goal, important goals, and we create enough chances, or have been recently, that he could score in the Premier League, I think.
Do you know what he would bring to the table what Lacazette is bringing to the table now, that link-up play, holding the ball up so Saka can make that run behind him, Martinelli can make that run behind him. He'd bring that to an improved level, but he'd bring you goals.
Exactly. And physicality. That's my point. And he's good in the air as well. Yeah. So, and that's what I think we need if we want to progress. And obviously, like, Napoli bought him for like 80, 90 million or whatever. So it's probably unrealistic that we're going to get him. And we're probably looking at like Jonathan David from Lille. And
player.
I love him as well. But it's just whether you can replicate it in the Premier League.
I mean, if you finish fourth, that's Champions League money now. It's true. It's a new level of money that the club's going to have. And
but regardless, do you know what? I always say this. I do think you will make that signing, though, into the summer.
No. There's no... You have to sign someone who can put the ball in the back of the net.
Spend big as well. I just get this feeling you're going to go ham.
But I just think it depends on Champions League. If we don't get Champions League, then we're talking about Europa money.
Do you guys, can I ask a question? Do you guys honestly think that this whole thing about, if you've got Champions League football, it guarantees you like top players?
Because it doesn't guarantee
you. You've signed Aubameyang without Champions League football. I just think that is a little bit of a myth.
No, I don't think it's a myth. We're talking about... If we're talking about Aubameyang 3 years before he signs for Arsenal, I don't think he comes to Arsenal in Europa League. Yeah, I honestly don't think that. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a competition that is like a player's dream to go play. And I think Mark said it last week. It's not about making the Champions League the one time that's going to bring you Haaland. It's consistently being there. Players want to compete. But Arsenal not being in the Champions League limits who we can buy. Like, we might have the money. For example, let's say, like, Liverpool. Let's just eliminate every single other club and just pretend it's, like, just Liverpool and Arsenal exist in this space for a minute, yeah? So Liverpool, always in the Champions League, vying for titles and vying for the Champions League. And Haaland is there, 75 million. No other club wants Haaland, but it's Liverpool and Arsenal. Arsenal could say, we have 75 million. But Haaland's going to look at Arsenal and go, well, you don't make the Champions League every year. Mm. You don't even challenge for titles. I don't want to just settle for fighting for top four. He's going to want to go Liverpool. And that's the point.
But don't you also think like a club's history comes into account? Because I could use another example. Say, all right, say Spurs, we get Champions League and we're going for a player. And then Liverpool also going for that player, but they're not in Champions League. I still think that player goes Liverpool over Spurs.
Well, it depends. I kind of hear what you're saying.
I don't
think it's a myth, though. Because if you take all these eight quarterfinalists now, maybe barring Benfica and Villarreal, but the rest, right? Bayern, Liverpool, City, Chelsea, Madrid.
Atletico,
thank you.
Yep.
You're welcome.
You ask any of the players from those six teams, and we're talking quarterfinalists of the Champions League, if next season they're willing to drop down a level, tell me who would say yes.
It's true.
It's not a myth. It's not a myth. If you're a professional footballer, and it's the same in most sports. You want to play at the highest level. That's how you get your name etched in history. Mm. Not by playing for a team who's finishing fifth and sixth every season. Might get a little Europa League game, but they're paying me 250k a week. Some players might take that. Some players might take that. But there are players who... It's about more than the money. It's about the legacy. Mm. It's about the trophy cabinet at the end of their career. It's about all of the experiences they can look back on. Mm. And like I said, if you asked any of these quarterfinalists now...
Yeah, that is a good point.
You know, would they move in the summer to a Spurs, Just as an example,
to Spurs, Man United or Arsenal?
Man United, Arsenal. I don't, barring the Benfica and the Villarreal players, as I said, there's no yeses coming from any of those players.
Plus, Vlahovic. If the choice was simple, I get Juventus is a massive club in Italy and all this kind of stuff. But if we're talking about just money wise, Juventus can't compete with Arsenal in that aspect.
No.
And he chose to go Juventus because of the history, the Champions League, the leagues he could win in with Juventus. And that's the point. So Arsenal fans are obviously ecstatic that we could make the Champions League for the first time in 5 years. But realistically, it's the first step. This is the first step, and we can't then go, oh yeah, we're a Champions League club. That's the first step of many steps to maintain and challenge. That's what the goal is.
And you got to think, the first time we qualified for the Champions League under Jurgen Klopp, if you could name me, because players wait. We didn't sign Alisson, Van Dijk because we qualified for the Champions League once. We actually showed them we could do it back to back.
Yeah.
And we're here. Yeah. Then we signed them. We signed Virgil in the January, Alisson, whatever it was, in one of the summers. And it wasn't because we just finished in the Champions League once.
Yeah.
I mean, the January we signed Virgil, we were in the Champions League, we lost the final that year, won it the year after.
And that's when you brought Alisson.
That's when we brought Alisson. And then that means, in my opinion, because of the culture we've created at the club in terms of continuously going far in that competition, challenging for the leagues, doing better in the domestic cups this season, not so much in the past 5 years. But that, in my opinion, is what meant we could attract a player of Thiago's calibre. Couldn't see him ever playing for a team, particularly Liverpool of 6 years ago. Would never have happened.
It's almost like you build up a reputation, don't you?
Would that's never have happened.
And that's the point. And then...
Interesting.
Then I get, like, for example, if Liverpool were to then not qualify for Champions League and maybe finish fifth, then I still think because of the last three or 4 years, then I could see them attracting a big player, like, if they 100%, throw the money. 100%. Because then they'd be like, okay, we'll go again. Yeah. We've just strengthened and we're just going to smash it next season.
Yeah.
Like, I think your point originally was a really good point about, like, for a lot of players, it's about just being linked to a club like Liverpool or Arsenal or whoever it might be is, all right, cool. Yeah. My agent, can you get that done?
Yeah, yeah.
But for the caliber of players that we're talking, the highest caliber, you have to be competing at the highest level, winning trophies. Honestly, the only person I can think of the highest caliber who's made a move like that, and at the time that team weren't really challenging for trophies like that, was Pogba to United.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, true.
And look how that's worked out.
And maybe like Di Maria as well.
Maybe Di Maria to United, that was United's name signed them. Yeah, so your point about like the club and the history. But
then you're talking about United, who went on a 20-year winning spree. So they had clout in the bank for that one. But massive 3 points. And what I like about this Arsenal team is the camaraderie, everyone, like the team spirit. Like you saw Aaron Ramsdale had a hip issue, didn't play.
I know.
Leno played for the first time in the league since we got bad at Man City. And at the end of the game, Ramsdale running onto the pitch to hug Leno. And he was actually the one, because Leno was shying away from the celebrations. Ramsdale pushed him in front so that the Arsenal fans could clap and sing his name. So it's that kind of stuff that I wouldn't have seen last year or the year before. Yeah. Like if you think back to maybe 4 years when we had that whole, it might be longer, but Sanchez fighting with the majority of the squad, he celebrated and half the team walked away from him.
That's
and
mad.
Where
I
we
remember
are now,
that. Yeah, yeah.
And where we are now, where everyone is together, like we fight together.
But I think that's what winning breeds. Winning breeds that together. And
said we fight together. I respect it.
Yeah, no, the Junior's fans are back it as well. No, the fans will back it as well. Like
when your team's winning, like players, they just they feel more confident, they're more together.
Honestly,
yeah.
One of the key cornerstones of success is camaraderie. People laughed at us. I don't know if you guys remember, we drew away to West Brom in Jurgen Klopp's first season. And West Brom, you know, West Brom, they're always around the bottom area of the Prem. And he got all of us in the line, not and me, obviously, personally, link up arms and celebrate with the fans. Yeah. And it was a draw and people grilled us.
Yeah.
Who's grilling us now?
Yeah.
You've got to start. You have to start from somewhere.
And like,
you've got to start from somewhere.
The opposite of that is, I can't remember what game it was. I think it was the Watford game. Man United lose to Watford 4-1. Ronaldo, as soon as the full-time whistle, sprints off the pitch.
Because that's a team of individuals. Yeah, that whole United squad. That's
true.
Why
you know what? People aren't talking about Man United and him suing every 5 seconds.
But that's
talking about him.
But that's the point. And like, I'd much rather the squad we have now. And I even said at the beginning of the season, it's easier in a way to accept defeat with this team that we have now because they're so young. But because they're all together, they're fighting together, than it was a couple of years ago. When we have like Ozil, Aubameyang, and then we're not winning, that makes it really difficult to accept. This makes it easier. Like, you can see that they are desperate to win for this club. Like, you can see Saka always talking like he wants to take this club to the Champions League. And that's what I'm here to see. I want to see Saka, Odegaard, Martinelli, Smith Rowe in the Champions League, but for Arsenal. That's what I want to see because they've.
It'll be massive for Arsenal.
Massive,
be in Champions League again. Oh. I miss Tottenham being in the just being in the Champions League.
I like miss
just
that song.
The test will come next season when you know you're playing Champions League football and you know you desperately want to qualify for the Champions League again because Spurs are going to strengthen, United are going to strengthen. I mean, they always strengthen. It never really goes well, but they will strengthen and they'll bring in high profile names.
Yeah,
they always do it.
Always.
Whether it works or not, we kind of find out as the season progresses.
Yeah.
But a lot of teams around you are going to bolster next season and you're not going to have that type of season that you've had this year where it's kind of one game every weekend.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm getting to outside of that striker area.
Yeah.
Where do you see the need to strengthen in your squad so that it can cope next season with that extra?
I've said it for ages now. We need a backup right back.
Yeah, I was going to say fullbacks definitely. Yeah.
I've been really.
You're probably about to say this as well. I think Cedric in the past month that Tomiyasu's been out, he's done a decent job.
That's what I was about to say. Cedric has really impressed me over the last month, as you said. But I think that's Arteta working with him, like on a one-to-one basis. Like, this is what you need to do. But let's be real, he's not the quality that's gonna like. Obviously, like Tomiyasu's our first team right back, but we need. Like a younger player, like kind of like how Liverpool, they've got Robertson, but then they went and got Tsimikas. So it's just something
very
that's seamless to come in and he does the same job, not maybe to the level that Robertson does it, but he can fill in against the Watford, against the Brentford, against, you know, these teams there.
Mm. Well, he can fill in against them all. He's actually...
That's a fair point as well. But that's what we need. We need a right back who could come in, does the same job as Tomiyasu, so we don't feel like we're missing something. Mm. We need a number eight. Like, Xhaka has been really good since progressing to this number eight.
Trust Xhaka though?
It's the position that Wenger always said that he would be, or that he wanted him to be. But you're right, you can't trust Xhaka because there's a fuse missing there, and it's just like one little thing. And he, like, for example, a lot of people were on him for pushing Buendia at the weekend. Now, for me, I don't think that's a yellow card because Buendia pushed him first and he had his hand out. Didn't shake it, then he pushed him back. But it's the risk you take with Xhaka because he's got a reputation.
Yeah,
so
that's exactly what I was going to say.
The referees are obviously aware that if Xhaka is in that position, it could get volatile, so yellow card. So we need a number eight who can also get goals because I think Partey is now settled in that number six and he's looking really good. And then I would go for a striker, a backup striker. I don't mind if we keep Lacazette. So this is me thinking that if Lacazette and Nketiah leave, we need two strikers, obviously. Mm-hmm. So two strikers, but I'm not adverse to Lacazette signing on for another year or two.
It wouldn't hurt, would it?
Because he does a really good job outside of the box. Mm. It's just the inside of the box. That's
and to be honest, it's a very young squad. You need leaders in there.
Absolutely.
You need leaders.
And all of the young players, they talk so highly of him. He always helps them out. He's always there
to talk. I do like Lacazette. I'm not going to lie. Like, I do like Lacazette.
And then I would get another right winger.
Yeah.
Not to maybe... I'm not saying he's going to get in ahead of Saka because I think Saka, you know, is a fantastic player.
No, but you rely on him a lot.
Exactly, and that's my point. Like, we've got Martinelli and Smith Rowe who can fill in on the left. We've only got Saka on the right and
you
Pepe.
Don't want to burn him out.
I was going to say, man, just forgot that £75 million signing existed.
I haven't forgot, but he doesn't do the function that Arteta likes.
He's given enough opportunity. Oh,
no, he's been limited to a 10-minute player. That's what he is. He gets 10 minutes at the end of the game. Not even if you're chasing the game, he gets 10 minutes if you're 2-0 up, and he might get 10 minutes if you are chasing the game. But
I think it's deserved because of everything that Arteta's seen until now. You can't trust him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that he's getting the minutes that he deserves.
So you get rid in the summer, just get rid.
Yeah. I would take a cut our losses and just move in. The thing I will say about Bernd Leno and about Pepe, you haven't heard a word. They're not playing. They're on the bench week in, week out. You haven't heard them complain. You haven't heard them being tapped up by any club. They've been super professional. So I have nothing but good words to speak about both of them. They come on. If they're asked to come on, they'll come on. They'll do their job. Bernd Leno at the weekend with a fantastic save. Pepe against Wolves. And that's all you can ask for players that are on the bench. Just be professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you can ask as well, I guess, for them to try and force their way into the team too, which they are, but we don't know what goes on at the training ground. That's true, of course, they're training to their, well, hopefully they're training to the highest capability.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, no one's taking that spot from Saka.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, Abdi says it all the time. Pepe's best performances were on the left. That's when he went on a goal scoring run. But now you can't get over Martinelli.
You won't obviously get what you pay for, but he'll get snapped up by a number of clubs, I reckon.
Yeah, I don't mind. You know, I don't know what like clubs, I said, like, I wouldn't mind us signing a backup right winger who can come and do a job or alternate because playing Champions League.
You're gonna need the squad, boy.
Yeah,
these players
have never done it before, so it's gonna be intense. Because playing Europa League. We used to play our youngsters, which are now, I guess, are the players that are playing now.
Yeah, that's a thing.
But
Champions League
is if you play your youngsters, you're not getting through the group. So, but that's even if we get there. We spent a long time on this. Let's move on. Next game was Leicester versus Brentford. And I guess all we can say is the game of fantastic goals.
Oh, my goodness.
Game full of bangers.
Bangers.
Castagna's goal, outrageous. Madison. Even he couldn't believe it. Madison's free kick, and then Wiesa.
Yeah, man.
But
we said it already about Leicester, didn't we? I mean, they're kind of like not really playing for much, are they?
Yeah, they're one of the teams who just are just playing for pride at this point.
They should just prioritize the Europa Conference League.
I think they could win that. I really do think they've got.
Did
a
you
good
see
chance.
What? So they just played Rennes in the last 16. Yeah. Did anyone see what Rennes have said about the condition they left the changing room in?
No.
I'll send people links afterwards because I don't know too much detail, but I've seen a picture and it was a shambles from Leicester. I felt ashamed and I've got no kind of links to Leicester at all, but not impressive. So, I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, for me, that was not good. And Rennes bounced back over the weekend as well. That must have been tough for them to take against Leicester. Mm.
Though with Leicester, I don't know where I see them going next season. I think they've got a good squad. Obviously,
Fofana.
I was gonna say Fofana. Fofana will be back.
He scored against Rennes. It was his first game back just last week or whenever it was.
But yeah, you're right. He'll be properly back.
But yeah. I tell you what, there will be players who want out. Tielemans. I don't see him at Leicester for another year.
Yeah.
Oh. Madison. I think if he wants to develop, not his personal playing style but his career, gonna have to move on.
You're gonna have to spend the cash though on him. What club's gonna spend that big on Madison?
I think Spurs would do well with signing him.
We haven't really been linked with him though. He was Arsenal were linked with him
last summer
and then you chose Odegaard, which has been like the best decision, but I don't know. I just think if they're willing to sell him for like 60 mil, I personally wouldn't pay that much money.
How much do you think he's worth?
He is young, he's a good player, and he is what we need. So actually...
How much do you think he's worth, like, just out of curiosity?
40 to 50? I think 60 would be a bit too much for me.
You have to get English
tax.
Yeah. I know, that's the thing, English tax, I know, but...
Yeah. Do you think he's Conte's player? I don't see him as a Conte player.
That's the thing.
No, you're right, actually, because he plays the three at the back, two wing backs, two usually quite defensive-minded midfielders, Bentancur and Højbjerg at the moment, I think it is. Yeah. And then, I mean, Madison doesn't... unless you play him off the left of that front three, but you take out a lot of his skill set by doing that.
So I think he'd probably just stay at Leicester then, or maybe Man United. Yeah. Oh, do you know what? That is a Man United.
That is a Man United signing, isn't it?
Let's bet our money now that they sign him in the summer.
That would be such a Man United signing. It's like out of the blue, not something that they need. Let's forget DM. Yeah, let's forget DM.
Madison.
Can you imagine Bruno Fernandes and Madison on the same pitch?
Honestly, that's going to happen. That is going to happen. Because
I feel like they're going to lose Pogba. So they need someone else at the another attraction.
Thank you for that. You know, Paul Pogba is almost 30 years old.
Yeah, I saw him. He's 29.
Listen, I love Paul Pogba in terms of his individual quality. But listen, this move to United has been the biggest waste of his career.
Yeah.
Imaginable. Honestly, I just think he needs to go somewhere now. Pushing 30. I know he's not 30 for a while. So 29 at the moment, but he needs to, for his own good, he needs to get out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be desperate to go anywhere. I mean, the Real Madrid boat sailed by. The Juventus boat.
Probably go PSG, I reckon.
That would be...
Yeah, I can see that. Something like that happening.
Because I saw, last week it was his birthday and people were circulating a compilation of his time at Juventus. What a player.
I know.
But why are you, what about this most recent 5 years? Why have you got to stretch back to Juventus?
It's true, yeah. You know, he left Juventus at 23. He's now 29.
6 years at United. What have they won?
Europa League. And Carling Cup.
Was he even fit for that? I'm not sure. I mean, regardless, he would have got a medal, but in 6 years, one Europa League and one League Cup.
And they finished second, which Mourinho said was a trophy.
God.
Yeah, he won the World Cup.
Yeah.
Next up, Spurs played West Ham.
I'm so honest. I know we've been in terrible format, but I wanted to win this game so bad.
Nah, you know what? You haven't been in terrible form. You've been in terrible good.
You know, it's
like a seesaw with you lot at the moment.
What's that Gattuso saying?
Sometimes it may be good.
Honestly, that is us. Oh, I was so happy. I actually went to this game as well. The atmosphere was electric in the stadium. I saw five inflatable cats because Zuma, honestly, he was getting a torrid time. Every time he touched the ball, he was just getting booed. But you know what? I was really impressed with our performance against West Ham. Don't get me wrong. I think they were a bit leggy because they had the Europa League game. But all in all, I think we controlled the game, to be honest. First goal, Sonny, it was deflection by Zuma, which made it even more sweet. Their fans were quiet as well. I was expecting them to be a little bit more pumped up, but...
They probably knew. I mean, let's be honest. West Ham team, when you got Antonio playing 16 games in 4 days,
but
his legs, it's done.
They were worse when he came off, to be fair, because he had a chance in the first half.
He had to come off. When did he come off? 60th odd minute. He couldn't do that. He put in a shift against Sevilla on the Thursday. He probably had Friday rest day, Saturday light training, wakes up on Sunday, he's playing again.
Yeah. No, I know.
It's true.
But no, I think that game for me, Son, he scored and he was doing shush to the fans. Because obviously, I've been critical of him and I think our whole fan base, I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff we should be dropped from the squad. Oh, we need to get rid of him. And I'm just thinking, this is a player that, Mark said it last week, he still scored how many goals? 11 goals. He's such a key player for us. And I think this just proves why we can't bench him. He got 2 goals, obviously. Kane was on one again. Absolutely amazing player.
Kane, he got the assist for all 3 goals, right?
All assists for 3 goals.
That's 21 assists now to Kane.
Son. He's got the most. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
I think he's fourth on the list of one assist to one
that's
player.
That's crazy. And they've extended their lead at the top of the partnership table.
Yeah.
By another two goals.
Which is what? Listen, I want them two to be informed because we've got the North London derby, and I need Kane to turn up for that game.
I forgot that.
Let us know a little bit more about your thoughts on this game, and I want to ask you what you feel Spurs need to do, and I want a serious answer from you in terms of if they are to secure top four this season. Don't just outright say it's not possible. I want to know from you what needs to happen. Spurs to do that.
It's only 3 points.
Do you know what? That's the thing. I think that West Ham game is actually massive. It is a massive, massive result. I mean, not in the sense that West Ham were catching us, but then again, I don't know if they've got a game or we've got a game in hand against them.
West Ham have played the most out of the teams in that.
That's it, right? Yeah. But in terms of Arsenal, I think psychologically now, Arsenal are going to be thinking Tottenham are literally breathing down our necks. And I think for us, I honestly think it's better that we're not the team expected now to get top four. I think we're better chasing rather than actually being the one being chased, if that makes sense.
I was gonna, you know what,
do you know what?
Do you remember, I'm so sorry to do this. Do you remember when Harry Kane posted the pictures of the lions and tigers? It's crazy.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for reminding me. Do you know what? I think after watching that game, I am a little bit more confident. I think if we win that North London derby, that's why this is probably going to be the biggest North London derby.
They haven't released a date for that yet, have they? They know exactly what they're doing. You know,
they need to relate.
They know. They want. I'm pretty certain they want that as late in the season as possible. Yeah. So that there's just so much juice behind it. Because if we're talking, what, with four games to go, that North London derby takes place, and there's 3 or 4 points between it. Biggest North London derby in a long, long time. Sky Sports know exactly what they're doing.
I'm already sweating.
I do think with Spurs, though, we are... I know it's win-loss, but we are actually having some momentum now, which is positive. And I'm actually annoyed that it's international break. I would have liked to have continued that momentum, but it is what it is. One thing I will say, we definitely have easier fixtures. And I know with Spurs, no game is easy, but we've got, obviously, Newcastle's tough, but I expect us to beat Newcastle. I fancy
us. You should expect it.
Villa, I fancy us, right? Then we've got Brighton, who we've beat twice already this season. Then we've got Brentford, we should be beating them. Then we've got Leicester, who we do typically struggle with, actually, at home. But again, we should at least try and win that game. So that's five already. We've obviously got to play Liverpool again. But I always think Liverpool Spurs, it's always a close game, really.
You know, the most annoying thing is that we should never have dropped 2 points against you early on in the season. And that's actually testament to. Yeah.
We've got Burnley Norwich. So we've got easy fixtures there, in my opinion. But I don't know.
That's when you put it like that at face value. You've got to go out there and win those games.
We've got to win all of them. I
can't believe this.
But that is a really good fixture list.
No.
Junior's panicking.
That's all bottom half.
I know. That's why I'm like,
apart from Villa and Leicester and Arsenal and Liverpool, that's all bottom half.
All bottom half, yeah. But the only thing with that is if this relegation battle heats up again, them games are going to be hard. So
they will, but they are teams on paper that you beat 9 times out of 10.
So if you flip that now, Arsenal, who are in the top four, you've got Chelsea, you've got to play us, you've got to play Man United, who I'm not writing off Man United completely here.
You know what? Now that you put it like that, it makes this race a lot more interesting.
It does.
In terms of the fixtures that need to be played.
I think if we didn't beat West Ham, I would have said that is it.
So how do you feel then? Because let's be honest, your league form in the past 10 games, if you had just fixed it up a little bit, the strength of the position you'd be in now, you'd probably be above Arsenal or level on points with Arsenal.
Yeah.
But actually, you'd probably be above them. You've lost some stupid games, silly games that you wouldn't expect this Spurs team, particularly under Antonio Conte, to lose.
Do you know what? I'm not saying we lost the majority of our games because Dier wasn't there, but I think since he's come back and since Bentancur's come back into the midfield, I honestly think we look a lot better. And I also think we have to remember a lot of the games Kane wasn't in
for. Junior looks mad sad, bro.
He looks devastated.
I'm stressed.
So I'm feeling a little bit more optimistic. And this was coming from me last week. I was being very negative and a couple of weeks ago. But now I am a bit more optimistic. Looking at the fixtures, the fact that we still need to play you lot.
Optimistic tans. We haven't had that in a long time.
I know.
Long time.
I'm just so scared to be confident with Spurs.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I don't think Arsenal, Spurs, United, I don't think anyone will feel particularly confident right now.
No.
There's no way to... You can't call it. You just got to go out there and play the football.
Yeah.
Where
have you got next?
We got Palace, then Brighton, then Southampton.
Palace away.
Yeah,
I think that's a Monday night as well. And I'm going to be honest, you'd rather play Palace at 3 o'clock on a Saturday than at 8 o'clock on a Monday night.
And I know, because Arteta was moaning, wasn't he? I know he was moaning. Yeah. You've got a lot of those games. Like, have you got Chelsea and then you've got like a 12:30 kickoff or something?
Yeah, we've got Chelsea on Wednesday and then we've got another team on.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to, I need Chelsea to do us a favour.
Right, there's going to be some dramas on this podcast over the next few months, so stay tuned.
North London derby, honestly, I don't even want to watch it. I don't know how I'm going to watch it. It is going to be nail-biting, because literally, over the past how many years, the North London derbies have been a bit meaningless, haven't they, in terms of the table? But this time round...
I'm loving this. Can I get that on applause? Which one is
the yellow one.
That's how I feel right now. I feel good.
And I'm sorry, if we get top four, boy, you two better hide from me.
Not me. You mean, yeah?
Me
we're
and
talking Abney,
Abney
here,
oh,
yeah?
Oh, yeah. Abney's not here.
Yeah, no, but I said it from the beginning. I didn't that think happened. That we'd get top four. So if we get top
Truth.
Four, it's a
I
mad,
as well.
Mad out of...
But listen. You both got a job to do.
Yeah.
And we'll know what's going to happen
no,
over the next couple of weeks.
Right. Who do you think will get top four? At Man United. I
listen,
Arsenal.
I don't think United... Junior made a good point about camaraderie earlier, and I said that's one of the cornerstones of success. I don't see that in that United squad, and I think camaraderie on the pitch gives you an extra edge and an extra bit of percentage over your opponent. And I just United don't have that for me. I don't see United honestly. After 34, 35 games, I don't even think they'll have a chance of it. I could be completely wrong.
Well,
there's nothing about this United team that impresses me at all. They're a team full of individuals. And a team full of individuals is very, very rarely successful.
Do you not think they've just still got that individual brilliance? They've got Sancho, they've got Ronaldo.
Tanya, they're sitting fifth or sixth.
I know.
No, but I hear what you're saying. But if they were a good team, they've got the players. They would be... Listen, we're talking about a team that came second last season. Very lucky to come second. They weren't impressive about it, but to drop down to sixth now.
So, all right then, out of Spurs and Arsenal, who do you? What is your?
I don't know. Listen, I've said it in the chat in front of you. And for the past 2 weeks, I've had my mind set that I believe Arsenal are going to finish fourth.
Yeah, I don't.
But now that you've read out those fixture lists, I still think Arsenal will finish fourth. But I know this is. I know I'm sitting on the fence. I actually started to doubt myself a little bit now, but I do think Arsenal will finish fourth. But I'm doubting.
Do you know what though? I think what I will say to I don't want to reassure you, but typically that's where we've failed, beating the teams we should be winning.
Can I tell you why I think that? Because when I watch this Arsenal team in comparison to this Spurs team,
yeah,
I just think they've developed the knack a little bit more. They're a bit further along the road than you are in terms of when you enter that final 15 minutes of a game and you're 1 or 2 nil up, see that game out. Arsenal, for me, have started to develop that into their game, and it was evident against Villa. I know there was a big save from Leno at the end, but you saw the game out. You brought Rob holding on. You did your 3-2, your 5-2-3, or however you set up when you're seeing a game out.
I do agree.
And I think that's the extra string to the bow that this Arsenal team have at the moment over Spurs and United.
Yeah.
That know-how to see a game out. That's what I think might see you through.
I'm stressed, man.
Well, Man United's fixtures are tricky. They've got Leicester, they've got Everton.
Well, Everton away.
Norwich, they've still got to play Liverpool and Arsenal. I mean, that again, that's what I'm saying. We've got the best. Like, we haven't
and
got a lot
finished,
of top six
lot,
teams.
Like, they have Chelsea as well.
They've got Palace. That's... They've got hard fixtures.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. That's the beauty of the Prem, though. There's
so
battles
excited.
All over the table. Beautiful.
That's stressful.
But we are quite tight for time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Should we chat
okay.
FA Cup?
Yeah.
FA so
Cup.
Okay, cool. The first game of the FA Cup weekend was Chelsea versus Middlesbrough, and the Blues came out on top on that one 2-0. I mean, I don't think anyone doubted that was
expected. So, what stage are we at in the FA Cup? Are they through to the semis?
Yeah. I mean, the semis look interesting because it's Chelsea versus Crystal Palace and City versus Liverpool. So, London Derby versus the two best teams in England.
You're asking me. That's the two best teams in the world, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's my. But honestly, I think that semi final, I think both of them are. I would love for Palace to do Chelsea. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I mean,
I would love to see that happen. Not because
it'd be nice for him to get to a final.
Listen,
it?
we've beat Chelsea in a cup final this season already, so it's not because I'd be scared. First of all, we have to beat City as well.
Yeah.
I'm not automatically saying we're through,
yeah,
but
it's true,
City fans probably thinking the same thing. But there's something about Palace this season under Vieira. I like watching them.
I really like watching them,
and we've spoken about camaraderie quite a lot in this episode. They've got that. When a team and a club has that,
I think they're kind of like similar to Arsenal in terms of like they got rid of a lot of the old heads and they brought in a lot of young players, and they've got a young manager. And so, like, watching them, like, Elise, Eze at the weekend.
Yeah, if you're a young player, you would want to play for Palace,
Conor
wouldn't
Gallagher.
Yeah. Gwehi, oh, my God. Did you know? It's such a shame for Conor Gallagher.
What was happening?
Can't play the semis against Chelsea. Oh, it would have been so the one sad. Draw he didn't
no,
want.
Oh, you're joking. No.
But they drew Chelsea, so he can't play
no.
it. Which is a shame for Conor Gallagher. Massive shame for Conor Gallagher. And it automatically makes Palace weaker.
Weaker, yeah.
Much weaker.
Oh, snap.
But lucky for Palace, Eze's finding form at the right uh-huh. time. Oh, and yeah,
did you know that Patrick Vieira at the start of the season was the shortest odds in for the first manager to be sacked? Yes. So he was the favourite to be sacked first.
Yeah. No way!
Well, you got really? To think. You got to think. When Roy Hodgson left, yeah. they had what 16, 17 players out of contract.
Yep.
Their squad was massively aging.
Yep.
And he's come in, and you have to give him credit for what he's done.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're sitting either just in the top half in 10th or just below it, and they're into a cup semi-final, and
they're 12th.
12th. So they're just below it. Yeah. But they're quite close, and they're
yeah, I mean, it's a congested. It's like Villa on 36 points and Palace on 34.
And a cup semi-final, and this is just season number one for Palace.
But the thing is, like, one thing that you didn't mention was, like, it's changing a whole culture, because we've mm-hmm. mostly grown up watching Palace, expecting them to sit back and defend and nick 1-0, or try and nick 1-0. But Palace play really good football. Like, even against Man City, I think they were talking about how Palace were brave on the ball. So usually when you get the ball against City, they've got you penned in, you've got no one at the front, so you just boot it back and then the ball recycles and Man City are back on the attack again. They didn't do that. They were trying to get through the lines. Zaha's obviously a fantastic dribbler. I was like, coming past players, playing 1-2.
Well, they should have won it at the end, didn't they? Yeah,
I mean, yeah,
it.
Conor Gallagher. No, well, maybe not should have won it. They could have won it. Maybe it would have been a bit harsh on City. Although Mark could have been celebrating with them like
Mark
a win. Liverpool 3 points. But yeah, he's changed the whole culture at Palace, and you don't even look at them as a team who are, you know, these are just going to sit back against a good team. No, they're actually going to come at you, and
mm-hmm.
and they'll give Chelsea a game.
And one thing I would say as well, like, I think they've lost a bit of the naivety that they had at the beginning of the season, where they were conceding all these late goals. You know, you remember they were like 1-0 up, 2-0 up, and then they were conceding these late goals and getting draws and stuff. I think they've lost a bit of that, and maybe, I don't know, it's the fact that they've been able to play the same back four the whole season. They've learned how to play with each other, and they just look like a really exciting prospect. And
yeah, and
if you're a Palace fan, you're gassed.
In terms of player development as well, it's not just team development. You've got to think the latest England squad, you've got Mitchell, Gallagher.
Oh, I love Mitchell.
Gehi.
Yep. That's it.
I know, but I mean, I know that was Palace. It. But in terms of, that's massive for Palace. And in terms of, it's clear to see he can develop players individually as well, him and his coaching staff. I know these were good players previously anyway. But that's three Crystal Palace players in the latest England squad. I'm not sure I can remember the last time that even happened.
Probably not in our lifetime.
So the guy deserves a lot of credit. Really, so much credit. I'm really excited to see where he can take that team. And because it's a really young team. Be interesting. A couple of more signings in the summer. One thing that I think he'll learn from is that Edouard signing didn't work. Yeah. I thought he pushed it through when he didn't need to. But that's something...
I think there's still a player there,
forward.
Though, Edouard.
I don't know. Mateta has taken that place from him.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
Edouard is just kind of just a 10 minute man. As I said earlier about Pepe, Edouard gets the odd 10 minutes here and there now.
Mark, you probably won't like this, but Southampton capitulated against Man City.
Come on. Did any of us expect?
No, I mean, I didn't expect them. They were in the game for the majority of it, and then they just capitulated. What a goal by Foden, though.
What a goal as well. Yeah, you're right. It is what it is. You always reserve a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
And Southampton and Nagelsmann have a couple of big hitters on there. I've lost my mind here, but they've beat a couple of the big boys, including us. They've shown they can do it, but City too much quality.
They beat City way too in much the quality. FA Cup last season as well, 1-0. That Che Adams goal.
That was probably on City's minds as well. Yeah.
So revenge,
exactly.
Mahrez scoring again, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a guy! I love Mahrez.
Yeah. Sounded like Abdi.
No, honestly, I'm like Abdi. I'm a fan.
No, I'm a big fan of Mahrez as well.
Love Mahrez. Just love the way he
but
plays.
But Mark, we don't have a Man City fan on here. We do have a Liverpool fan on here.
We do.
Was the 90 minutes at Nottingham Forest one of the nerviest 90 minutes of your 2021-22 season?
I tell you now, I fully understand why they caught a couple of scalps on their way to the quarterfinal, because they actually impressed me. Like, football-wise, they were decent, but just that manager-wise, they were set up. But it goes again to this conversation about Frank Lampard. I don't know why I'm bringing it back there, but could you imagine Frank Lampard setting that team up? I just, there's no way, in my opinion, they give us the game that they did, or they knock out Arsenal and whoever it was they knocked out after Arsenal, Leicester, I think.
Yeah, they banned
4-0. So I'm very, very impressed with the manager. I'm very impressed with players from Nottingham Forest. But at the end of the day, we've got the job done. Jota is just a fox in the box. He's a killer. He's a killer in the box. And the thing about, I don't know if you guys actually saw the game, but he didn't have a good game.
No.
Didn't have a good game at all. Outside of the finish in the box in the right place at the right time, making the right run and there to finish it off.
He's making that synonymous with his game. He's just like...
Well, that, I think for me, that's the sign of a good player. And I'm not saying stink it up every week, but even if you do drop a bad game, you still have an impact and contribute.
Yeah.
I think that puts him up to 19 for the season, highest scoring Portuguese player in Europe. That's 19 in all comps, 19 or 20. Listen, I said it in the first few episodes of the podcast this season. Domestic cups.
Yeah.
I want to see us do better.
All right, Mark.
Quadruple is on.
It's still on.
Let's not go there, please.
But I wasn't going to say that. What I was going to say is, it has to do with it, to be fair. But how are you feeling now? Obviously, this is one of the tightest title races for a while. You're in the semi-final of the FA Cup. And you're obviously in the quarterfinal of the Champions League. This is the period where, you know, players, good players, don't shy away from. You've got a massive run in now. Lots of games. We're talking about congested fixtures, but you're going to be playing Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday, that kind of stuff. So how do you feel as a Liverpool fan? Obviously, you've got a squad where you trust and these players have done it before in the past, but where are you at in your mindset and what do you think is possible? Like in terms of what you set out in the beginning of the season?
My mindset is game by game. I'm sounding like a player right now in a post-match interview, but it has to be that mindset. It has to be game by game.
Yeah.
That for me, there's no other way to look at it. It is the next most important game is Watford.
Yeah.
Then we move on and it's Benfica. Then it's City, then Benfica, then City. But it's not about looking ahead, it's just about the next game. So first of all, if we don't go out and we think Watford are already beaten.
Yeah, it's true.
We've got to go and beat Watford. Yeah. Then we've got Benfica 2 or 3 days later. Then we've got City 3 or 4 days later. Then we've got Benfica 2 days after that or 3 days after that. Then we've got City again. So I just think let's first of all go and beat Watford. Rebuild that momentum after the international break. Again, Tanji, you were saying it came at the wrong time. Came at the wrong time for us as well. In terms of the momentum we've been building for the past couple of months. But where I'm at, game by game. Beat Watford.
Really? Come on, Bart. Say it. You're
that is no
Champions League.
Game by game. Because again, we got a decent draw in Benfica, but if we win that and Bayern win their quarterfinals, it's Bayern in the semis. And then, you know, whoever wins that is probably, I think, City and Chelsea will be the other semi-final. And you're probably looking at a City versus Bayern or Liverpool in the final. That's how I think that Champions League route's going to go.
God, you're going to be City. Like, you and City are going to meet each other a lot, it seems.
Yeah, I bet the FA were gutted that we drew City in the semis. Yeah, I bet they were. But yeah, to answer your question, game by game. You just can't look at it. even that Nottingham Forest game was up until that goal went in. It was
tough.
You don't even know if you're going to be in the semi-finals or not. You can't look ahead. Can't look, especially in the business end of the season. You look ahead. That's one of the worst mistakes you can make.
So, do you think your season hinges on? I know you're saying game by game, but just look at it from a bird's eye view. For just a second. You think that your season hinges on that Benfica, Man City, Benfica, Man City?
Season, that our season hinges on that, yeah. Well, of course, without a shadow of a doubt, because we could either be out of the Champions League, out of the FA Cup, and City could beat us in the league.
6 points so behind.
Out of everything. Yeah, yeah. Or we could be in the semi-finals of the Champions League, the final of the FA Cup, and above City in the league. Those four games there in the space of, I think, 12 days. I think we've got 7 games in the space of 20 days, which is
mad.
Crazy. Crazy.
That is
but
nuts.
Listen, you only get that type of fixture congestion at the end of the season. If you've earned it and you've done well, so
Man United are bricking it.
Yeah, their honestly, fans are bricking they it are
because because if Liverpool do the
the
treble or even the thing, it's I think it's a much better achievement than when they did it.
But yeah, well, yeah. I mean, the football is of a much higher standard now than it was in '99.
But not even because of that. It's just because Man United. It was almost a given to win the Premier League. Every season.
That's true.
It was only Arsenal that came in and just kind of shook things up. So if Liverpool were to win the league whilst competing in the Champions League, that already by itself is a monumental task because to beat that Man City team is something special.
But do you want to know what's interesting is that, right, we're playing, obviously, not saying that it's going to happen, but we're playing right now for a quadruple.
Yeah, it's crazy.
City are playing for a treble.
Yeah, I know.
And Chelsea are playing for a double. There's a lot. A lot of highest. It's not just Liverpool playing for stuff here. Yeah. Chelsea can win 2 cups. City can win 2 cups in the league, or we can win the league and 3 cups. There's a lot to play for the three big, for the three best teams in English football right now.
But what do you think of some Liverpool fans saying quadruple, like we can do it?
Listen, be excited. Listen.
It's exciting.
Of course, it's exciting. But I'm not. I like to see that. But I'm personally not of the persona to. I can't get excited about something that.
Potentially might not happen. Yeah.
That's why my original answer was game by game. Yeah. Obviously, I'm excited and obviously I'm literally buzzing. But within that space of Benfica City, we see what happens. We see when we come out the other side of that. Ask me that question again. But until
I think
then,
that's fair enough. To be honest,
yeah, I think that's fair. It's just I'm thinking of like, imagine if they win Premier League, Champions League.
Just as we've been on air, we've been sent 5 questions.
Oh my God. 5 questions?
Yeah, 5 questions.
That's how we roll. Socials are popping.
All right, so we'll start this segment. We'll try and get these rolling quite quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, so does Poch or Ten Hag deserve the United job over Rangnick with early UCL exits?
Let's get
if not, who?
Right. I just want to ask you, lot. I don't want to drag this on to you. What is so special about Ten Hag? I really want to know why they want Ten Hag.
I think it's if you look at it like subjectively, like to do what he's done with Ajax.
It's a
big club in Holland, historically fantastic football. They've made some legends of the game. But if you think about it, in today's world, they don't spend a lot of money. And
I suppose maybe they use
their youth squad. But what I do want to say is I want to bring people back down to earth real quick. Really quick, because these people are acting like Ten Hag is like this 30-year-old Don who's come out of nowhere and he's older than Pep. So it's just like it's gonna be that United job. I said Everton was a poison chalice. That United job is a poison chalice because you don't know how or what is gonna happen. It's a circus. So United fans think that. Well, I mean, they all think that make a couple signings and we're good.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think so. I think
it's
they
not
need
a quick fix at
I
all.
I think they need to do what Arsenal did and get rid of Bearman and just start again. That's how I think. And I think United are six to 7 years behind because what they're doing is they're buying superstars, and the superstars will get you through games, but they won't get you through a league. Mm. So
there's no to me that club just screams. Unorganized is such a light way to put it, but how are you bringing in, right? You look at their striking options, Ronaldo, Cavani, short term thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Sancho was long term thinking. But how are you bringing in? You got Ronaldo, who's what, 37? Cavani, 35. For me, that just screams just short term. Let's see what we can do. You know, these are big names. Let's get some shirt sales. But on top of that, let's hope that they do the job on the pitch. And for me, it should be he's going to do the job on the pitch. He might not sell the amount of shirts that Ronaldo or Cavani might do. But actually, in terms of on-the-pitch success, this is the player we want. And United don't have that.
No. Yeah, it's true. And to be honest, when you're looking at it like that, the truth of the matter is, if you buy a player, let's bring it back to Liverpool just real quick. Liverpool go sign Diogo Jota. Diogo Jota is not a sexy name in football.
No, of course
or it
not.
Wasn't when he was at Wolves. The guy has just turned into a prolific striker. Like, he just scores all the
because
time.
Because they buy and the profile player that fits Klopp's system.
Exactly. But, to Mark's point now, how many Liverpool fans are now buying Diogo Jota shirts? So that's how you, that's what you need to do. You need to buy a player and he will turn in to that player. It's not about like, oh, we're going to go sign Ronaldo. He's going to, you know, our Insta, like when PSG signed Messi and their Instagram popped to like 10 more million followers and people thought, oh, PSG going to win Champions League and they got knocked out in the second round. It's that kind of mentality. It's like you're buying superstars, but you don't have a system.
But on
you don't
question,
have a...
I honestly, I don't think Poch will do well at United at all.
I actually want Poch to go to United.
I think that will happen, to be honest, because I think what most Man United fans want is Ten Hag, so they'll get Poch. I just know that will happen. But I honestly, I would hate if Poch went there. I just think he'd be, sinking.
I honestly think that United are betting everything on Ten Hag or Poch, but I just think they've got major, major issues. Major, major issues. And the person asked with the little thing here saying, do they deserve it with their early Champions League exits? I think United are in trouble regardless of the manager and what they've just done at their job.
Zidane's still out there, isn't he?
He is, but I don't think he'll go United.
You never know. That could still be an option for them.
All right. Anyway. someone sent us... it's not really a question. Okay, USA qualifying for the World Cup. They've got a good young squad, USA. But until you see them in a World Cup, you don't really know what
expect. Yeah, they'll be happy they're participating at least. Yeah.
I mean, it would be big for American football in terms of, you think of their population size and the quality of their football. I know it's so far back in terms of sport that over in America they find important, but... country the size of America, you see it around. There should be a bigger talent pool than what they've got now.
Yeah.
So I think that will do massive, massive bits in terms of inspiring a whole new generation of footballers in America. So actually, I think that's a really good thing for America.
I mean, absolutely. I think a few years ago, like or maybe like 10 years ago, at World Cup, you might know two of the USA players. Now, you've got Pulisic, you've got Dest, who plays at Barcelona. You've got the majority of their squad play in Europe.
Yeah, that's
and true. Mark's talking about the MLS being behind. But Charlotte FC or whatever it's called, they just broke the record for highest attendance in MLS. 76,000 attendance.
Crazy. That's an Old Trafford there.
Yeah, exactly. And so like it's just growing and growing and growing. So it's good to see the USA, at least in footballing terms. I just don't want it to become like they become really good at it.
that's decades away if that is to happen.
But anyway, England squad, why does Maguire keep getting picked?
You're going to have to ask Gareth Southgate that because...
he don't watch football, does he? I don't think he does. I just think...
He obviously gets picked
and
on
Mings,
reputation.
Why me?
I don't know.
I just don't understand it. Is it that he just thinks Maguire... I mean, to be fair, Maguire does perform for England, doesn't he? We can't not say he doesn't. Maybe that's... I don't know.
Listen, if England are to play a back four, get him nowhere near that team. If we're going to persist with the back five, I can just about stomach him being in that team just because of...
I would have picked Dier. I think Dier was unlucky. I don't know if that's crazy to say. People say, but I actually think Dier...
I think we're forgetting Tomori.
And, hello?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so unfortunate. When is the player like him going to get an opportunity, you know?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because Maguire, at this point, just gets picked on reputation. But
of course. I promise you right now, he wouldn't even be in that United team if Lindelof was fit. He half lost his place in the middle of the season. And then Varane can't stay fit. Lindelof can't stay fit. Don't really trust, or it doesn't look like they trust Eric Bailly.
Yeah. They got Phil Jones still. All right, we kind of answered the next one, which was about Tomori. Okay, Chelsea up for sale, but what club would you buy and you can't say the team that you support?
Oh, I know who I'm buying.
Who?
Aston Villa.
Right, you come to that mad quick.
That was quick. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm buying.
I was thinking like QPR. Because you know the players that Crystal Palace are, Eze and Elise came from QPR.
Is it?
Actually, that's a shout. Academy wise,
yeah,
QPR you're quite looking decent, at. Yeah, yeah.
Or I'd found a local man. Club, which would be Enfield FC.
I don't know.
Enfield Town, yeah, I think.
You're on your own on that one.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'd maybe go for like something like QPR, like Championship, and then. Help, try and help them get into Premier League and not do what they did last time, which is spend a whole load of money on rubbish.
I'd buy Villa, me and Gerard get working together. Love that.
That could be a problem, you know.
I'd save some of my money and I'd go Championship as well. Not for long.
Oh, stop it.
Not for long. Okay. Not for long. I'll build them back up. Trust me, I got this.
Back up. That means, okay.
I actually think I'd go Fulham and Craven Cottage.
Oh, that's a good one.
Choice. Yeah, I like that.
Although they're becoming a bit of a yo-yo, innit?
That's what I'm saying. Not under my stewardship. We're pushing for European
football.
We'll
see you in a Prem. QPR versus Fulham.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
I like that question.
Next one up, the Joey Barton incident.
Scum.
What happened? What's he saying this time? That guy's always...
That's all I can say.
He beat up his missus.
Oh my God, you're joking.
Yeah, no, like a kick to the head.
Wow.
Honestly, if we're looking to elaborate, I seriously think the footballing world needs to be gone. I don't even think
he's not still managing, is he?
He is still managing. He's not managing at a very high level.
He manages Fleetwood.
He is managing, and I even think even at that lower level of football, there's no place in football for a man like Joey Barton.
No,
I
agree. Absolutely not.
Zero place. So I think my thoughts are
bin him.
Even A, get him to serve a sentence. There's no getting away from that. And B, get him out of the footballing world. It's done for him now. Yeah. Done.
Well said, Mark.
It's atrocious behaviour. That's it for the questions or statements or whatever. Mark, you want to do the...
I'll save that.
You'll save that, okay. All right. Okay then, we've reached the end of this.
I know it's been a good pod, actually.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, it's been good. Interesting combos. I'm just top four race. That's what I'm
I can't lie. It's going to be juicy.
I'm
going to be very juicy. Guys, tune in every week. We release on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
And you'll hear our latest thoughts, particularly Tanya, Junior, and Abdi.
There may be tears.
There may be a couple of fist fights.
Title race.
I know, but I got no one to direct. Like, you will hear my thoughts, but I'm not coming face to face with my enemies.
I know they're not. There's not many of them that exist, but Man City fan. I have to get a Man City fan on something. I just don't know any.
They're like, I don't know.
Do you actually know any City fans? Because I don't. I don't think I know any.
We'll look into that.
Oh,
for
I actually
pre-season.
I do know a City fan. Yeah. Yeah, but he's Brazilian, so I don't rate it that much.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those ones where it's like they see it from Brazil and they're like, oh, it's a good team, isn't it? It's got some Brazilians.
Oh, well.
Anyway, what was I going to say? I was going to say something about something and I forgot. Oh, wait. You've seen our stories. We put out, I just want to ask if you guys are surprised by the results, but we put out a poll about Chelsea and Arsenal and Man City and Man United. Were you guys surprised? Arsenal and United came out on top.
Not particularly. I'm going to be honest. I was surprised, not because, Abdi, I'm not a hater. I was surprised Arsenal won it by so much.
Yeah, so
I think Chelsea got, 29%, and Arsenal got 70+.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, 76%. So you got over three quarters of the box.
Yeah.
And the Manchester one was slightly closer.
Yeah.
But who won that? Was it?
Man United. United won it.
Didn't surprise me that United won that.
Man United won it by 58%.
Yeah.
58-42. Yeah. That's how I thought the London one would be. Mm. Not too surprising.
Yeah. Okay. Should we do a Liverpool? Should we do Liverpool United?
Could do, actually.
Because they're the most successful clubs in England.
Let's do Tottenham West Ham as well, because they seem to think that, you know, they're bloody big bollocks over there.
Right, we'll do that. But if you lose that poll, you've got to show up here with chest.
We will not lose.
And explain why.
We will not lose.
And you have to hold two hammers in each hand.
We will not lose.
Tanya's going to be WhatsApping. Hey, listen, I need all of you lot to go and vote on this poll.
West Ham, yeah, I swear. I really despise that whole club.
So you're glad you won on the weekend?
Yeah. Oh, I was absolutely
She was buzzing.
You know what? I was singing this Sunday. I was like, you can stick your bubbles up your ass.
Those are the views of Tanya and not WTATO.
Sorry, pot your mouth. Sorry. End this shambles, as Abdi would say.
Fair enough.
The spirit of Abdi.
So we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Woo! Sports Social Podcast Network.